Good morning and welcome to Center for Spiritual Living Midtown and Beyond. I choose. Thank you for choosing to be here with us today. We appreciate you. I'm Reverend Cynthia McCarthy, and I'm happy to be your guest speaker here today. Reverend Dr. Bob is celebrating his birthday week down in Mexico. He had a birthday last Thursday, so birthday blessings to him. Now, I have to start out on a little somber note. I think I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the loss the nation is feeling with Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. As I'm sure everyone knows, she passed away on Friday on the high holy day of Rosh Hashanah. And there's a Jewish belief that only the most righteous souls transition on that day, which I thought was just a lovely sort of end to a magnificent, meaningful life of purpose. So you might have noticed that her transition has stirred up even more divisiveness and conflict and fear. I'm seeing a lot of fear, and I'm sure you are too. And this is a place where we come to release fear and to know the truth. So I want to clear the air and start our service off right and just center us for a moment. Let's remember that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is with God, not worried about her replacement on the Supreme Court. Her soul is not worried about the state of our nation because she is perfect peace. And we know that as human expressions of the divine, we are perfect peace. We are one with God too. That is the truth. So right here, right now, let's just marinate in that, if you will. Let's take a short moment of silence to breathe in that peace. God's peace is our peace. It is the very nature of our being. And we have all shown up today to be an expression of that peace. And gratefully, so it is. All right, let's take a look at our Declaration of Principles and remind ourselves who and what we are and what we're all about here. And you're at home on mute, so you can say it loud and proud with me if you'd like. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Well, our center, as you know, has practitioners who want to work with you. They have extensive training and experience with affirmative prayer, and they are all delightful people, FYI. This is the part of our service where we invite one of them to share their insight and lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. So I'd like to introduce the wonderful Lee Huffman.
Thank you, Cynthia. It is really good to be here online with everybody. It's a beautiful day, and I noticed my, not sure what's happening with the picture, but anyhow, it's a beautiful day here on the north side of Atlanta. So greetings, everyone, and as Cynthia said, Happy New Year. It was the first day of, I think this is the second day of Rosh Hashanah and in the Jewish tradition, and so this is a year 5781, and Rosh Hashanah literally means the head of the year or the beginning of the year, and it launches the Jewish high holy days, which are known as the days of awe. And biblically, this holiday is known as the day of shouting and blasting. So since everybody's on mute, you can shout and blast all you want. but I won't do that right now. Many of you know that I'm really into training and learning, constantly learning things. As a matter of fact, I'm taking classes in science of mind or religious science. And as I was taking them, I realized I was about out of the classes that were offered. So I started down the practitioner path and not intending to be a practitioner. And then all of a sudden I learned that I was a practitioner. And so went ahead and got licensed along with 18 other students that year. And now these students are spread all over the world still practicing this and teaching this to other people. So I know that my thoughts create the personal experience, as we said in, I think, line 3 of our affirmation a few months ago. So I'm still taking training. And one of the training programs or the platform that I'm learning on right now is called Mind Valley. And I'm currently on what they call a 45-day quest with Marissa Peer. And on Thursday, she shared with us her rules of the mind. And these rules are very similar to what we believe in religious science. So let me see if I can read through these for you. What is expected tends to be realized. Imagination is more powerful than knowledge. Imagination is more powerful than logic. Your mind always does what it thinks you want it to do. Your mind responds to pictures in your head and the words that you say to yourself. Sounds like us, right? Your mind learns by repetition. Your mind loves what is familiar, which is why it learns through repetition. And we make our beliefs, and our beliefs make us. So a belief is nothing more than something that we've said to ourselves so many times that is now part of our life. It's something that we've created. It's something that is ours. And so it's interesting that we would study this. And in the Science of Mind textbook, on page 155, pull this up, in the chapter of faith, Ernest Holmes, our founder, speaks about the mental approach. He says, the universe is a spiritual system. Its laws are those of intelligence. We approach it through the mind, which enables us to know, will, and act. Prayer, faith, and belief are closely related mental attitudes. Prayer is a mental approach to reality. It is not the symbol, but the idea symbolized. That makes prayer effective. Some prayers are more effective than others. I've seen that. Some only help us to endure, while others transcend our conditions and demonstrate an invisible law which has power over the visible. Insofar as our prayer is affirmative, it is creative of the desired results. So Ernest Holmes said that right at the beginning of his teaching on faith. And if you continue watching and learning these, participating in these classes online or these discussions that we have online each week, you'll see that the teaching is amazing. We just read the core teaching at the sort of the 30,000 foot level. And in this talk and the classes, like the one that Reverend Bob, we'll talk about this a little bit later, is offering starting this Wednesday, you can delve even deeper into this teaching. And then this teaching can change your life and show that you have more control of your life than what you really know. When Ernest Holmes spoke about affirmative prayer, he was speaking of one of the most powerful tools that you can have. We call it affirmative prayer, as he did as well, as long as it's affirmative. We also call it spiritual mind treatment or treatment. So I'd like to lead you now in a treatment or an affirmative prayer. So relax, uncross your arms and legs. Take a deep breath and let it out. Now I'm gonna speak this in the first person, which means I'm gonna say it for myself because I can treat my mind and you can treat your mind. So please take any of it that speaks to you and internalize it. Even if you want to speak it aloud, you can do that. But discard anything that doesn't resonate. You know, what's my truth may not be your truth at this point in time, or may never be. But we speak our own truth as practitioners. So another deep breath. And know this with me, if you will. There is one source of all that exists today. Everything that there is in the world came from the source. This one point of life, of existence, of energy. It has many names. Yahweh in the Jewish tradition, Allah in the traditions of Islam, God in many traditions, Christianity included, Father, universe. It can be the world around us. It can be Mother Nature. It can be anything. Ernest Holmes actually said a lot of these terms have baggage with them. So he called it the thing itself. Just to keep from bringing the negatives into it. So I call it today's source, because I don't want to have anything negative. I want to say that the thing itself is a source of everything that exists today. I know that I was created out of the desire of source to express itself. And that desire is pure love. I know that I was created in the image of source. Therefore, my thoughts and words are creative. Today, I choose to be grateful. I choose to speak words of abundance for myself and for all those around me. Source wants me to have everything that I desire in abundance. It wants me to be joyful. It wants me to thrive, not just survive. Even in these times of trouble, I know the source wants me to thrive. Nothing can stand in the way of my abundance, except maybe my own thoughts. So I work on these thoughts every day, and I refute anything that might stand in the way of my thoughts of abundance coming to me, to my family, to my friends, and to everyone I touch in life. I am abundant. We are all abundant. We all have what we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. So I accept this abundance. With open arms, I open my life to this abundance. And abundance flows to me and through me to others. I release these words knowing that source will help make it a reality. I know that life is mine, abundance is mine, and joy is mine. And together we say, and so it is. So thank you.
Flying on faith. That's one of my favorite songs. If you blast that in your car, everybody just gets out of your way. It's fantastic, I promise. So a movie came out about 20 years ago called Playing by Heart. I don't know if any of you saw it. It has this amazing ensemble cast of famous actors. Sean Connery's in it, Angelina Jolie, Gina Rowlands, Dennis Quaid, John Stewart's in it, Ellen Burstyn, on and on. Great movie. But it's interesting because you think you're watching separate storylines the whole time, and then you get to the end of the movie and you realize that all the characters were actually connected in some way. So it's really cool. But the reason I bring this movie up is because there is a line in it that gets quoted a lot that I want to share with you. Angelina Jolie's character at one point says, "Talking about love is like dancing about architecture." What? Talking about love is like dancing about architecture. The point being that you can't dance about architecture. That doesn't even make any sense. And you can't really talk about the idea of love. Love can be expressed, felt, and experienced by human beings in so many different ways that it makes describing it in words really challenging. Now, in the scene where her character says this, she also mentions that you could say the same thing about music. You know, think about all the different styles of music out there and the way they make us feel, like that song we just heard, right? Don't you just feel like you can do all things when you hear that? Music gives us a soundtrack for our lives and just affects our emotions so much. So talking about music is like dancing about architecture. You can't really do it. Love and music are two examples of these wide-ranging, deeply abstract subjects. And when we try to put them into words and talk about them, it can end up falling a little flat. Well, sometimes I think talking about faith is like dancing about architecture. It doesn't stop me from trying, mind you, but faith is really such an abstract thing. Could you imagine if I put you on the spot and said, hey, you, tell me all about your faith? Ugh, where would you even begin, right? Some things might come out, but your words might never fully encapsulate what your faith is. It can be difficult to talk about and challenging to learn about and improve. And when you take it seriously, which I think all of us do, you want to improve and strengthen your faith. We reach the point where we understand the value in that. And that's why I have such a soft spot for CSL centers because, you know, as Lee mentioned, they are truly committed to teaching us methods and ways to strengthen our faith. So the title of today's talk is, do you have faith or are you had by faith? Huh? It almost sounds like a trick question, right? I would say faith isn't something you have or are had by. Faith is something you are. It's a way of being and a way of operating. So this goofy question of do you have faith or are you had by faith makes me think of that part in The Science of Mind where Ernest Holmes asks us to consider whether we have faith in God or whether we have the faith of God. So think about that. Do you have faith in God or do you have the faith of God? When I hear that, I just want to go, I see what you did there, right? Doesn't it just change your thinking there? And it's not a judgment of, you know, one is right and one is wrong. It's more that the goal, and it's a lofty goal, is to be full of faith, to reach a point where we are faithful at all times. And until that way of being just becomes who we are. So I think a great example of this is, let's say a woman goes to medical school and becomes a physician. I'm going to use female examples for Ruth Bader Ginsburg today. So, and this doctor is on vacation one day and she's sitting in a restaurant on vacation and a stranger on the other side of the restaurant keels over and collapses in a medical emergency. What do you think that doctor is going to do? She's going to jump up and help because that's who and what she is. She's a doctor who practices medicine and who helps people heal. Helping a sick person would come naturally to her and automatically. So faith, if we're doing it right, should come naturally, right? It's a calm assurance. Now, it moves and morphs and changes throughout our lives. And to get to that natural calm assurance takes practice. And to stay there takes a lot of effort. We're all spiritual beings having a human life experience. And we've all had times where our faith is rock solid, right? Where we're saying things like, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to affirm good things and know the truth of this situation. And then we've probably had other times where we abandon our faith. We hit panic mode. And my gosh, I've had plenty of times where I just completely forgot I even had faith. You know, when you're sobbing on the bathroom floor and shaking your fist at the sky, that kind of stuff. Is that just me? I hope it's not just me. I think we've all been there. But we know faith is a thing of thought, right? It takes place in our mind. It's a way of thinking and expecting, whether we're thinking good thoughts, expecting good things, or we're thinking negative thoughts and having false beliefs and expecting bad things. It's two sides to the same coin, but it's all faith. So I have this visual tool that I use that I want to share with you guys. See that? Okay. So these are the scales of justice, right? Now, I don't actually look at this picture. I imagine this in my mind. I wanted to give you guys the same picture in your mind. The scale represents my thoughts and words and expectations. Now, one side represents my faith in goodness, my knowing, my trusting, my belief in the goodness of God, Spirit, Universe, Source, insert your word. It represents my truth. Now, the scale on the other side represents my fears, my false beliefs. It's my negative thoughts. Science of mind tells us that fear is the negative use of faith. Being afraid of things and worrying about possible bad outcomes is really just using our faith in a negative way. And didn't Job demonstrate that for us in the Bible? He said, the thing I feared has come upon me. Okay, let me come back here. Am I back? Okay. So either way, the whole thing is my faith. In a talk that he gave in 1918, Ernest Holmes said, "You cannot say a word or think a thought that is not omnipotent. That is why you bring upon yourself the thing you fear, and that's also why you bring upon yourself the thing you want." So either way, we are very powerful beings. So I'm sure you get where I'm going with this. We want to tip our faith scale to the good and leave it tipped, right? Now, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but when I first began studying new thought principles and learning about using spiritual practice to improve my faith, I used to think that the only way to manifest my good and really use the law was to think positive, God-like thoughts 100% of the time. I thought I had to be consciously aware of my thoughts and beliefs and my affirmations at all times. Now, it didn't take me long to realize that's too hard, way too hard. Now, I don't know who studied this or how they studied this, but apparently the average person thinks somewhere between 10,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. Of those thousands of thoughts, 80% of those thoughts are negative, and 95% of them are the same thoughts we thought the day before. So that gives me a feel for what is happening with my faith scale, right? It turns out I was very mistaken to think that I had to tip the scale 100% to the good, positive, life-affirming way of thinking. I'd like to introduce you to what I call the 51% rule. Let me share this with you. This is also a quote from Ernest Holmes. So in that same talk he gave, he said, when 51% of your thinking is health and life and power, that day, that 51% will swallow up and erase the other 49%. The day you as an individual, by 51% of thought, pass beyond this perception of limitation, everything in the universe is yours and you become it. The day 51% of your thinking is happy, misery shall depart and never return. Now, that is quite a claim. But these numbers he used intrigue me. It's comforting to me to know that it's at the slight tip of the scale of just 51% that we see a demonstration. Having 51% of my thinking be happy with thoughts of, like he said, life, power, health, those God words, is still challenging. Definitely still challenging. But it's a little bit more within my range of, maybe I can actually do this. Now, I said in the beginning that faith is a way of being and a way of operating, but we see that it really means operating from an expectancy of good. Now, I don't know if you guys probably know, Ernest Holmes had a brother, Fenwick Holmes, who also wrote some great books. And he defined faith as a constant expectancy of good. And I've always loved that. Think about living from a constant expectancy of good. Where in your life right now might you be forgetting to have a constant expectancy of good? There are a lot of people right now who are not expecting good things from this upcoming presidential election. Sometimes I am one of them. So I'm going to go there for this, because I know some of you are dealing with this as well. We get focused on good outcomes and knowing and trusting this is all part of the divine plan. And then we see a news story or something and we are back to shaking our fist at the sky, right? It's hard. But this is a faith community, and we are here to support each other, to affirm and know the truth for each other, to remind each other of our truth, because it can be hard. I follow this psychotherapist and author on Twitter. Her name's Carrie Joys, and she only tweets positive, uplifting, joyful things. And she recently posted this incredible picture. It was a beautiful picture of a sunset over the ocean, and it was very colorful, and it had this lovely ornate font, and it said, "Train your mind to see the good in everything." And someone commented, "These days, that's really hard." And I had to laugh, because it's like, it's okay to admit that, you know, that's real life. It can be hard. There are spiritual practices and strategies to help tip our scale in the right direction. And I have just a couple for you today. One is to use your emotions as a guide. It took me a lot of years to figure this out, because it's really hard to just sit back and think, gee, what thoughts am I thinking right now? You know, we just don't do that. We're busy thinking. But if I'm angry or sad or depressed or upset about something, that's an emotion that I can recognize and notice. I'm going to feel those emotions and notice it. And then that's telling me that I'm operating on the wrong side of my scale. So that means I'm thinking something that is causing me to be angry, sad, depressed, upset, whatever the emotion is, instead of thinking about my good, instead of thinking about my truth. Now, you still have to honor the feeling. You got to feel the feels. This is definitely not about pretending they're not real or ignoring them, but it's telling me that I have some work to do. Now, some of that work might be using another strategy, which is affirming the opposite, using affirmations, affirming good things about yourself, about others, about the world. I took a class years ago called Mind-Body-Spirit Connection. And one of the textbooks for the class was the little book by Louise Hay. I think it's You Can Heal Your Body, I think is what it's called. And our project for the class was to choose some physical condition that we were dealing with and experiencing and that we wanted to heal. And our homework was to say the positive affirmation that correlated with it, because the book goes through all these different body conditions and issues, and then it gives you an affirmation for it. So our homework was to say the correlating affirmation 100 times a day for a minimum of 30 days, and then write a paper about our outcome. That's a lot, 100 times a day for 30 days. It made a huge impact. So what was cool, though, is you can't say an affirmation 100 times a day just sitting in one sitting, you know, knocking it out like that. So they had all these suggestions about spreading it out over the day in different ways, like write it down in a journal a few times, go for a walk and chant it as you take your walk, print out the affirmation and tape it all over the place. They had us put it on the bathroom mirror, or so every time you see it, you stop and think that, you read it, you think it. You put it on light switches every time you turn on a light switch. We'd put it on in our car, like on the dashboard. We put it on the top of our computer monitor, all over. So you put it places you would see it, notice it, and be reminded to affirm that truth, to affirm your good. And the class was life-changing for me because that's when I first realized how much I needed constant reminding. Those affirmation reminders triggered me to remember the truth and helped me to fully expect my good and to tip that faith scale. And that's actually, side note, the intention behind that the company I created, Spirit on the Spot. That is their whole point, is creating those products that will trigger us and to remind us to say and think that affirmation. So our good is in and all around us. And the more we seek it, focus on it, expect it, and believe it, the more good we experience. So I'm going to close with this story that happened to me years ago. And it's a true story that really happened. First, I have to tell you that I have always loved personalized license plates. It's kind of weird. Just stick with me here. So as a kid, I remember thinking how cool it was that you could have your car say something to the world. You know, I always thought that was really neat, that you could let your car be an expression of you, you know, express a bit of your personality. And if you think about, you know, we're all expressions of God, we could have our car be an expression of us too, right? I always thought it was neat. So I've always paid attention when I see a personalized license plate, when I'm out driving or parking lot or whatever. And when my kids, particularly when they were little, they used to like looking for personalized plates too. It was like a game that we would play. Now, sometimes you can't fit everything you need to say on the license because you only have 7 spots. You have 7 letters or 7 numbers or a combination, and that's all you got. So sometimes you can't fit everything when you're trying to communicate it. So you have to kind of figure out what they're saying. So one time my girls and I were walking in a parking lot and we saw a personalized plate. Now I didn't take a picture of it, but I made a visual for you guys to see what it said. So this is what it said, ITSALGD. Now my oldest, who was about 15 years old at the time, saw it deep in the teenage years, okay? She saw it and said, "Hey, look, Mom, that license plate says, it's all good." You got to pick up on the oblivious teenager tone, you know? It's all good. She thought she was hot stuff, you know? So we happened to be in a Center for Spiritual Living parking lot. So I said, "Well, honey, this is a church parking lot. How do you know it doesn't say it's all God?" And she was blown away. She was like, "Oh," and she was determined to go in that church and find out whose car it was and what it said. So I had to stop her. I said, no, it doesn't matter because we're both right. It's all God and it's all good. And when we live in faith, we see that everywhere. So I'm going to leave us there today, knowing it's all God and it's all good. We have an amazing board of trustees who works on behalf of our center, and one of them is here to give our announcements. I'd like to introduce Karen Childs. Uh-oh, Karen, we can't hear you.
There, how's that? I was waiting for Vance to automatic pilot me. My bad. For those of us who've been around this teaching for many, many years and have immersed ourselves in it and actually have found it to become a part of our fiber and a part of our being, the words that Cynthia has spoken this morning are really ringing very, very true to me. And I have actually made it a practice. It's a knee jerk. It is the default, the go-to that says, I'm looking for my good in everything. So when bad thoughts creep into my mind, and they do with everyone, you can't keep them out, but you don't have to let them stay. That's the amazing thing about this teaching, that you're in charge. You can choose the way you think and therefore choose your life, choose how to change your life to be what you want it to be. So as we talk about prosperity and how we support the things that we find value in and that resonate over and over with us as having our good at the core. That's what this segment of what I'm doing today is about. And I want you to read this with me. So Vance, if you'll put up this affirmation for prosperity, as you look at it with me, take this opportunity to say it out loud, because words spoken out loud somehow have a different impact on us. So you'll see in it a situation that says, I live in a universe of abundance. And your knee-jerk reaction could be, yeah, right, I got $400 in the bank and my bills far outweigh that amount. That is one of those thoughts that you banish, because you know it's not the truth of your life. Your world is much bigger than this moment. You live in a universe of abundance. Your abundance is available to you. Reach out, grab it with both hands, and bring it to you and hold it close every day. And that's how you make things happen, and your optimism becomes true. So everybody, read with me, please. The affirmation of prosperity. Say it out loud. Nobody cares, right? You do this for you. I live in a universe of abundance as I freely and joyfully give. I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Yeah, take that part to the bank. And so it is. So, Vance, do we have announcements? Yes, we do. Next Sunday, Facing the Fear, and Reverend Bob will be back. Just do it. I can already tell you, I like the sound of this. Just do it. Don't chew upon it. Just pass right through all the negativity and just do it. We have Tuesday afternoons now, have a spiritual empowerment session from 12 to 12:30. And you know how sometimes you find yourself in a little bit of a fog and you can't quite see the clarity that you know is beyond it, but you need a little help sorting through it? 30 minutes, invest in yourself, tune into that, and see if you don't feel better at the end of it all. Guaranteed you will, because you'll be looking for your good and you'll find it there. On Sunday mornings, we have a discussion group at 10 o'clock. So it's the same link that you get to access the Sunday celebration. So it starts at 10. So you'll find like-minded people all talking about the book of Science of Mind. And then just stay tuned and it will fold right immediately into the Sunday celebration. And the fun people that I see popping up in this group are interesting people with good grounding in this teaching, and sometimes not, and sometimes people looking for some clarity. So check it out, see what you think. And Bob is starting a class this week coming up. I think I'm right about that. Yes, it is this week. Activating your potential, mental equivalence. What else are we talking about? Exactly that philosophy. So I hope you've signed up by now. And the last thing on our list here has to do with the practitioners that Cynthia mentioned. This is a resource that you might find very interesting. If you need a little help, somebody to have your back, somebody to listen and help you sort through this. You know the teaching, but you have trouble applying it. That's what these people are trained to do. So I think in the chat room, we'll have a list of these people. And if not, you can access them from our website indirectly. So help us out with your contributions to support us financially, and then support yourself by all the things that this center offers. My pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you all.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, so I have one last thing to tell you guys. Tonight, I am officially a spiritual practitioner student. My program, the first year starts. So I'm really excited about that. And I just wanted to share it with you all because you're my center and I know you're supporting me in that. And I'm going to turn around and support you right back with all the fun stuff I'm going to be learning. So I'm really excited about that. And Spirit's just making me happy about that today. So, hey, let's continue this and round it out with our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.